Hi, welcome to the Brick Filmers Guild podcast, hosted by us, the Four Monkeys. On this podcast, we had the extreme pleasure of chatting with Alex Pearson of AKP Studios. Alex made his current YouTube channel in June of 2012, and it has over 4,500 subscribers and nearly 500,000 views. He's also created videos for the Fancy Pants YouTube channel that are very popular, one of which has almost 9 million views. Once you've seen his work, you'll wonder how he doesn't have far more subscribers and views on his own YouTube channel. This podcast is sponsored by Stop Motion Explosion. Have you ever wanted to make your own brick animation but don't know where to start? Stop Motion Explosion is a complete animation kit, perfect for anyone who wants to start making their own brick films. Their kit includes a high-definition camera, easy-to-use software for Mac and Windows computers, a huge collection of sound effects, free video tutorials, and much more. Use the promo code GUILD30, that's G-U-I-L-D-30, to get 30% off your animation kit order and fast free shipping at stopmotionexplosion.com. If you would like to help support our podcast, you can do so by becoming a Patreon supporter. Get podcast at least a week before anyone else and other perks only available to our Patreon supporters. So, without further ado, here's our conversation with Alex. Good morning, Alex. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
We're actually really excited to talk to you because, you know, obviously Dave and everybody has known you've been requested. Keshen was the one who actually requested a long time ago that we interview you. And so now we finally had the chance to check out your work, and holy crap. I mean, no wonder people have been requesting you because you are amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome to be here. I know Chris was talking to me about you guys, and he said you should, you know, go on the podcast, and so here I am. It's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah. I've known you guys for forever, you know.
Yeah, well, we've been around forever.
You know? Yeah.
But one thing I did notice before we get into your origin story and all that, you've pretty much been a better brick filmer than me the entire time, starting from when you were like, well, I wasn't doing it back in 2005, but by the time I got to brick filming, you were still better than me and still are. So you've always been better than me. It's kind of depressing for me, but it gives me something to look up to.
And someone fun to talk to.
Yeah, I'm excited to just open up and talk. I mean, I don't really do this kind of stuff that often, and I'm pretty, I don't know, not many people know a lot about me, so.
Well, they should.
Yeah, they should, and we had so much fun, you know, watching your videos yesterday. Your commentaries are hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
You're funny. You have great comedic timing. You put in all these extras. You're editing. Adobe After Effects skills are mad skills, just through the roof, and it just totally puts all of your great brick filming over the top.
Thank you.
And they're educational.
Yeah. I mean, for people are always, you know, a lot of times these podcasts are great because people get tips. It's always nice to hear how other people do things because it gives them ideas on how they should do things. You put together all of these tutorials, is that how
well they're behind the scenes, and then there's the commentary, which both are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, those you give like the most amazing tips. So people, if you guys want editing and all sorts of tips, you need to watch Alex's videos because holy crap, you're getting tips out the yin yang there. Do people say that anymore?
I don't know.
Well, I just did.
All right. Yeah, I'd like to do more. I just haven't had a lot of time recently, but just do more tutorials and stuff and videos just in general. But
they're fun to watch. You're obviously very comfortable on camera. I mean, it comes across that way, and it's fun, and you make them fun to watch. Even like your mistakes are funny. They're just that's what makes it
gives you part of the charm, and I enjoyed watching them so much.
I like the jump cuts to the like close up of your mouth and stuff like that.
That's what I'm talking about. He's funny, you know. Yeah. They're anyway. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. So, wait. I also have to add in the music because I love your choice of music that you add in throughout your commentaries and stuff. They're so enjoyable and random, and I was relaxed. I was just like, you know, I wasn't feeling too great yesterday, so I was just like chill on the couch and watching them, and the music was going and you were being funny. I was just like, this is great, you know. I was just really just relaxed and had fun watching them.
Well, I'm glad I could brighten up your day. That's
so
good.
Do you go to the trouble of like picking different songs, like, okay, I want this song for this, because you have a lot of different music and they're all great?
Yeah, I do. There's a couple people I use. They're on SoundCloud. One of them is Joachim Karud. I'm not really 100% sure how to pronounce his name. But he's got some awesome music. And, the behind the scenes for, the Grandpa Vader video, the first one, that's actually copyright strike. So don't use his music. It's great music, but I learned from that, and I'm trying to, you know, in the future, yeah, using copyright free kind of music, you know. So
yeah, there are a lot of royalty free sites available to everybody, and I have like a list, and actually we have it on the Brick Filmers Guild you know, links to help people find great music, because there's so many out there right now, and I'm always finding new ones, it's very helpful.
And although Kevin MacLeod's awesome, there's a lot more than just him out there.
But we do use him probably more than anyone else.
He's just got a ton of it.
I seem to have a problem with frogs in my throat today, but
all right,
is what it is. All right, so you're...
Let's get back to the origin story.
Right, Alex, you're AKP Studios, which is... your initials, Alex Kenneth Pearson Studios. Great name.
Thank you.
Your current channel, which was, you made June of 2012. You had two previous older channels before then.
I did, yes.
But this one has over 4,500 subscribers and almost 483,000 views.
Way under subscribing.
I was going to say, sounds like a lot, but no. Once you see your work, you're like, how does he only have that little amount? It's crazy. You deserve so much more. So I'm hoping that, you know, we'll help promote you as much as we can. We hope people will listen to this and watch your things because, yeah, you deserve so much more.
Thank you. Yeah.
And yeah. When did you... go ahead.
Oh, no, I don't... I would just... Yeah, that's about right. I think 2012. So that was, yeah, the summer going into my freshman year of high school, so...
Awesome. And you you started doing stop motion, I guess it was at a summer camp in 2005. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I love Legos, like, you know, my whole life. My neighbor got me into them, and then Star Wars Legos was my thing. So it was 2005, so it was like the summer going into second grade, I think, that my mom signed me up with one of my friends, and it was at like the local park district, and it was a Lego stop motion camp, and I went, and I was kind of one of those kids that thought it was cool not to like participate, you know, like funny here, you know. So I didn't really do much there, but I was fascinated by it, even if I pretended not to be. So when I got home, like after the summer camp, I got my Legos out. I was like, Mom, do we have a video camera? So she's like, yeah, here. And I was in the family room floor. I got like a base plate and some Star Wars Legos. And I set up the camera, like recorded for like a second, record, like, you know, hit record, stop record, kind of moved it. And then in between, I would kind of record my voice with the video camera. And it was all on tape. So I don't know where those are, but I'd love to find them someday.
Well, I hope you do. It'd be fun for us to see, too.
And did you keep up with this from 2005 constantly for a few years? Or did you put it down for a little bit?
I did. Yeah, so I made about, I think, three videos there, and then I always loved Lego, but I think I stopped and then started back up again, like, sixth grade, like, actually started up again. I always had the Lego, and I was always collecting Lego, but actually started making videos again in sixth grade when I got my grandma gave me her old, it was like a Apple PowerBook G4, and it was very slow, but it worked for what I needed it for. So,
what kind of software were you using on that old MacBook?
So I would use just iMovie. It was the older iMovie on there, and then I would bring the pictures in from just directly from the camera and kind of cut them down to the fastest, like just kind of string them together in iMovie and play them at, like, I don't know what the FPS was, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the greatest. And then after that, I would export them out of that and actually bring them into a effects program called Effects Lab, I think, and that's where I would add like laser blasts and stuff like that and explosions. But at first, it was just in iMovie, and then I learned about that program, and that was like my first big purchase. So,
okay,
very cool. Mm-hmm.
And you go ahead. We'll go into your couple of old channels. You had something called Bricks Boy 12 from 2009, like till 2011, and then you had 6, 7, 8 Lego from 2011 until you created AKP Studios. Looked at some of those videos, and
well, that's sorry. Good.
It's all good. We looked at those videos, and those were actually some good quality videos, even though they were made probably when you were between 10 and 13. I'm pretty impressed with what a 10 to 13-year-old did making those videos. They were pretty darn good for your age bracket.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's all I really did with my time was just animate. But, those are hard to look back at sometimes, but they're also enjoyable. And, yeah.
They're definitely enjoyable, and it's nice to see the progression of you just getting, you know, you were already good, but getting so much better. I always tell people, never delete your old videos, no matter how painful they are. We have videos that are painful for me to watch, but you got to leave them there, though, because it's nice to see the progression and see where you've come all this time.
Yeah. So I was, Bricks Boy 12 was 12, hence the name. Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, I was embarrassed of the whole Lego thing because in school it wasn't cool. So I kind of kept it a secret from everyone, which was interesting. There was a storage area in my basement that, you know, I was like, Mom, Dad, I really enjoy doing this, but I'm also embarrassed of this, even though I shouldn't have been. But, you know, in your prepubescent mind, it's like, people are gonna make fun of me for this, and you know,
kids so can be cruel.
Yeah, we kind of redid this little storage area, brought a table down, and my Legos, and that was my Lego room, as we called it, my secret room. So there was that, and I spent a lot of time down there making videos. So
cool.
I'm gonna mention the icon real quick because we're staring at it on the Skype. It's also the icon for your channel, your majestic Maggie dog, who's absolutely adorable. I had to go on Instagram to see her. I was hoping that she'd pop up on one of your commentaries. I think you tried on one of them, but she just wouldn't come up on your leg. But she's so cute.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she is one of the biggest distractions ever. So. I appreciate her, but sometimes when I'm trying to work, it's like, oh, come on. Because she has her little bed right under my animation table. So, she likes coming in here to hang out.
That's cool. Sweet. Yeah, we did have, when I first came in here, we had the cat and two of the dogs. Now we're just down to the two dogs. I think there's one dog behind the couch. So, one big happy fur family.
Yeah, so I have Maggie, who's turning 3 in January. She's a Pekingese Chihuahua. And then I have Mac. My family has Mac. He's turning 15 in January, ooh, actually. Wow. He's a Yorkshire Terrier. So.
Oh, so you got just adorable little doggies.
Yeah, he's still, I guess he's adorable in his own little way. He's pretty old. But
the thing is, when they're that small, they always look like they're puppies. And yeah. So that's why they're always cute.
We also refer to him as Master Splinter because he looks like Master Splinter from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any? I'll have to look back, see if you have any pictures of him. We like looking at the animals.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have one on my AKP Studios. I'm sure there's one on my personal Instagram or on Facebook somewhere, but yeah.
I will go searching. I will find.
He looked the cute. Mm-hmm. So you were, and I think I picked this up on several of your behind the scenes and all that, or it might have even been on the podcast you were on, but you've been heavily influenced by, Keshen, Zach MG, Forest Fire 101, Forest, and, Fancy Pants. And you can see a lot of that in your work, and, definitely good people to be influenced by. Is there anybody else out there that, maybe you saw that you liked what they did and kind of tried to emulate?
Yeah, so those are all great, and I, you know, took big influence off of them. And there's another, way back when, like back in 2009, kind of when I started Brooks Boy 12, I was a big fan of Star Wars, and I like did the whole kind of, there was this era where kids would collect the clone troopers and be like a, like make Star Wars animations and stuff. And there's I don't know if you're aware of him. He's Solid Brick Studios. He's
David.
YouTube channel. His username used to be Lego Boy 1234567 8.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and he made Lego Star Wars animations, and I was like, wow, these are so cool, and I kind of made Lego Star Wars animations like that. That's what kind of what I have on my Bricks Boy 12 channel. But since then I've kind of moved away from that. I still watch the videos here and there, but yeah, my biggest influences now are probably Forrest and Keshen and Fancy Pants and Zach MG.
Mine too.
Yeah. When we grow up, we want to be just like them.
Yeah.
And it's been really awesome just in the past couple of years, actually getting to know them and talk to them, which it's just been really cool. Because I never really thought, you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh, these cool guys are, like, really cool. I'm never going to be like them. But just recently, you know, me and Keshen have been going back and forth a lot. And just, it's just cool to share, like, tips and tricks with each other and, you know.
Well, they're all really nice, down-to-earth guys. So they're really easy to talk to. And, you know, we've had Forrest on. We've had Zach on. Keshen... still working on him. But because, like I said, because of Keshen, is, you know, he's the one that wanted us to interview. So thanks, Keshen. Appreciate that.
We definitely loved
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Keshen.
Interview Jordan sometime. Right. Fancy Pants.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he's going to make some more videos himself. I know that you've made a few for him, but I'm hoping he gets back into it. I think he's got his hands full with family and work, but I'm definitely hoping he creates some more content because he's one of the masters.
Yeah, he reached out to me like maybe a month or so ago asking about tips or like ideas for his set that he's working on for Clone Training Center Episode 3. So hopefully that's coming eventually. I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah, hopefully it's in the works.
Speaking of sets, though, your sets are beautiful.
Oh,
the fact
thank
that
you
just do them all yourself and you don't use any of the pre, what do you call it?
like
what we do. They're beautiful. They're absolutely stunning.
Thanks.
It's actually that. What was it? This one? Or
well,
that?
It's, yeah.
I see. I watch all the videos, but then I forget which one has which scene.
Well, we'll go ahead and blast all the way up to your most recent one. It's the one take James Bond. Although it's awesome, I actually like the other one more. But that one's awesome for its own reasons because it's all one shot and crazy. How long from start to finish? Did that one long, I think it's what, a minute and a half, 2 minutes long?
It's like 45 seconds.
45
actually.
Seconds. Okay. How long did it take to actually animate that? Because that was over the course of several days, right?
Yeah. So I took a couple of day breaks, but overall it was probably about 8 or 9 days just not constantly animating, but here and there I'll go in and do some, like, maybe, like, you know, take certain, you know, 20 pictures, 40 pictures here and there. So,
and did you leave all your equipment on during this?
Yes, yeah, I did. I was using a webcam, and I left all my lights on. So.
Oh, well, must have got warm down there.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I think I was using like 3 lights. So,
are you still using incandescents, or you flipped over to like switched over to LEDs or?
Yeah, I have LED now. Okay,
they're a lot cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If I understand, you used your C920. Camera,
right,
your webcam. This is something I've seen a lot of you animators do. Just when you have some tight shots, you like using this non-DSLR camera to do some of the shots. And I definitely want to try some of those techniques out because I miss my old webcam because it could just do some of these angles and close-ups that my good proper camera just won't do.
Yeah, and it's so much easier to set up shots, takes less time, just, yeah, it's nice, but it does have its limitations, I guess.
You can't control your depth of field very well, or at all.
Yeah, no, it's just very shallow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But also from an economical point of view, it's a great thing for beginners to use.
Yeah, I picked that up for like $60 at Best Buy, so.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've noticed in that one particular James Bond and pretty much all your videos is you do a lot of scenic elements with flat plates and minimal studs, which just really take it to a different level. But I can imagine that's very difficult to do in some situations, and without the studs, probably actually easier to do certain shots.
Yeah.
So one of the things I think you mentioned is like you would take like the flat piece out and put a studded tile so the person or the minifigure could stand on it. That way you'd have a good position where you would always know where to go back to. Is it hard to try to take the flat pieces out just to insert a studded piece on a set when it's pretty much the entire floor is all flat?
Sometimes it'll be a little difficult if the piece is bigger or like a 1x4 kind of thing, but I typically just take a piece of sticky tack and kind of stick it down on there and pull up, and it comes up pretty easily. Sometimes I'll take a couple more pieces with me, but you know, just put those back down.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think I started doing that with the tile floors in my first James Bond video. That was where it was really, you know, present. And after that, I kind of felt like I set a precedent for myself. So it's a positive and negative. I think it looks really cool, but it does take more time to animate on the smooth floors.
Now, the one take action scene, I believe it was mentioned on the Dangerous Bricks podcast that you did not plan that one out 100%.
Not really at all. I
kind of went with the flow.
That was like my last... Well, it was my last like Lego project before I started on the StickBot stuff, which we can get to.
Definitely.
But I just was like, oh, I want to do a little short video, and I kind of had this idea in my head, and I built the set, and then I let the set sit there for a little bit, and then I was like, okay, I guess I'll do this. I'll start animating, and I kind of just started animating, and then, you know, like as it progressed, I was like, okay, I'll have this guy run in from behind and jump on his back and just kind of random things. So then I went and put together a minifigure that looks like a bad guy and he jumps on his back, kind of. I didn't have a script or anything.
Mm-hmm. And you had that entire set built where you could easily remove your walls, correct?
Yes, yeah.
So you were probably pulling those in and out constantly.
Yeah.
And we'll go ahead and slide into your Lego James Bond, The Encounters. I think it had a different name at one point. Spectre or something like that.
Yeah. I think I was wanting to release that while the Spectre movie came out, but I'm not sure if it came out before or after it was released. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember. But
what camera did you shoot that one with?
It's my Canon T3, which I still use today. Yeah.
Cool, cool. Well, definitely one of the scenes, just starting off right at the beginning where the guy's walking across the unstudded hallway with these beautiful scenic windows in the background, which made the lighting look awesome.
Yeah, the windows were beautiful.
Thank you, yeah.
So, yeah, there was just a lot of that, just beautiful scenic work. I'm just blown away by, you know, how good you are at building scenic. But one of the things I noticed is you do some of your effects in camera, and some are done with After Effects, which mm-hmm. I'm thoroughly impressed by your After Effects skills. I'm terrible at it, still learning. But you did a lot of you do several of your effects in camera, but you definitely, you like bullets hitting the wall, and you mm-hmm. have them leave a mark, and then you've got to track those the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And that just seems
nightmare.
Like a pain. I can understand why Keshen and Forrest drill holes in their sets. That way you don't have to composite an M later.
I was considering doing that, actually, but I was like, oh, I don't want to do that to my Lego, but it would have saved so much time and helped with continuity. But it was fun doing all the visual effects, sitting there for hours. You just sit down, relax, and just get into it. Maybe listen to something or watch something on the, I don't know. That whole video was I storyboarded that entire video, so that helped with filming. And then all the visual effects were like, kind of, I need to add this bullet hole in the background here. And then after a while, it kind of just was like, they forgot about the bullet holes, so I stopped adding them in the background. Mm-hmm. So,
I think one of the things you mentioned on one of your behind the scenes is that you composited, I guess, some of the torsos on some of the minifigures.
I did, yeah. For that main bad guy, the torso kind of it cracked, or was his arms are too stiff, so I put some sandpaper in the arm holes,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of sanded them down too much, or the arms were too loose.
Mm.
So then I started using a different torso, I think, and I composited. I took a picture of the original torso and put it on there in After Effects.
Mm.
You had to do that too.
I had to do that on some of the Oyo videos I did, because I wouldn't have a certain player from, say, the NFL,
right. Okay.
And I had to. Well, he did the main play for a certain game, so I had to
mm-hmm.
key in every frame this torso, and it's an effort. I do need to learn how to do the tracking, which I believe you have a behind the scenes or a tutorial about how to do the tracking on After Effects.
That one's actually for stabilizing your shots.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a your camera's bumped or whatever, that's not exactly for that, but I should do a tutorial on tracking. That's a good idea.
I had to do I guess that's what it was about, because I had to do on one of my last Galactic Smugglers, it was my camera was getting really old, and I noticed mm-hmm. that there was this jitteriness in the entire video. So I had to go in and by hand adjust a pixel or two every single frame so it stopped jittering. And it was frustrating.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So I bought a new camera and it stopped, that problem stopped. But
So I had that problem too for the longest time. And then I looked at my camera and the image stabilization was on. And I was like, so it stabilizes the image every time you take a picture. So when you string, 15 frames per second, all those pictures together, it's not going to be consistent because it's stabilizing each different picture. So
mm-hmm.
I turned that off and my problem was gone. So,
okay. So then if I do that, the only problem with my old camera will be just dead pixels. So
yeah, I have that too. I gotta upgrade soon, but yeah.
Cool.
So would you shoot at 15 frames per second or do you?
Yeah, 15.
All of them. Okay.
Have you ever played around another, frame rates?
Yeah, so I don't know if you know Onbeat Man. He's another Lego animator.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty close friends. I've known him since I started AKP Studios, but he had a video called A Date for Kylo Ren. He animates 24 frames per second, and I animated a scene for his video, and I you know, use 24 frames per second. But that's about it for trying out different frame rates.
Yeah, I prefer the 15. 24, you just have to do such minuscule movements sometimes.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do 24 and make it look good.
Yeah, it's just a time suck, and when you're dealing with Lego, they're so limited in their movement anyway. I don't really see the point, but you know,
well, some people their own. Some people do 12 and make it look good. So I wish I could do that. I can't make 12 look good. I can make 15 look all right, but not 12.
Yeah, I've been wanting to test that out. The 12 at, you know, twos or whatever.
I forgot to mention when you guys were talking about compositing on the torsos that it was compositing and not composing because none of us are composers.
Oh yeah.
And this is where we need to add in that picture from. Because yeah. That was fun. That's just, it's those little details. I love those. They're funny.
Funny humor.
Yeah, but I try to embrace my little slip ups, you know.
And that's great. I totally appreciated all of them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you liked, Kim, you liked the hand being blown off shot and then the kill falling off the balcony.
Yeah, the falling off the balcony to me was, even I was just like, how did he do that? How did you do that?
I think for the beginning of the fall, he was kind of sticky tacked onto the balcony and then it was just masking.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah.
Weird thing to like, but it was a really tap.
Sorry. What were you saying?
I'm a female, so I constantly interrupt people, you know. It's just
really, oh, no, you were going first. My bad.
No, it was just, it's a weird thing to like, you know, somebody falling off the balcony and falling to his death, but it was just so impressive. It was like, wow, that was a beautiful fall.
Thanks, yeah.
When they were shooting, I guess when he's running past all the bookshelves, all those little bullet marks, and then where you actually had where it took a chunk out and you could see the head behind where the bullet hole was. That just must have taken you forever.
Yeah, it did. I think that video took me about 2 months, but yeah.
So what takes more patience? I mean, is it, you know, a lot of people say, well, it takes a lot of patience to do stop motion animation, but, you know, with your Adobe After Effects skills, it's like it seems like you're spending more time on that almost.
I think it depends on the shot, visual effects wise, because if it's like that one long tracking shot where he's running past the bookcases and bullets are flying and I'm also tracking the bullet holes onto the bookcases, that probably takes more patience than the actual animation, because I'm only animating one character and he just kind of lifts up his arm. So I guess it just depends. There's also a scene where he reloads, and I think that was more challenging with actual animation than it was doing the visual effects, although I did paint out all the sticky tack I used to support his arm when it was out of the socket, so that took some time as well. But
well, that's definitely one of your superpowers is your After Effects skills. So,
thanks.
We'll move on to I guess your relationship with Fancy Pants and the videos that you made for Jordan.
Yes.
You made a Lego Star Wars Grandpa Vader and Kylo Ren, and you also made Chewbacca versus Kylo Ren epic final lightsaber battle. Both of them were really awesome, and these were you animated them, correct?
Mm-hmm. And, both parts for that Chewbacca video, yeah. So,
and I believe you did all the After Effects. I think Jordan did the audio, is that correct?
He did the audio and he wrote it.
Correct. How'd you find yourself in doing videos for Jordan? Did he reach out or what was the backstory there?
Yeah, so there's also, I think, there's a Christmas video too.
Okay.
And then there was a Batman video. So I think in total it's like about four. But I think it was, I graduated high school early in 2016. And because I've never been like I said before, I don't follow. I think it's funny when you don't follow rules, whatever. But I've always been so passionate about animation. So my high school days were mostly working and sitting and animating. So I graduated early, and I didn't really have a plan. I mean, I haven't gone to college. I graduated early from high school, sorry. And I started like two classes at my community college, and one was a motion graphics class, and it was for After Effects. And I started that, and the first day they're teaching us how to like move a little 2D butterfly across the screen, and I was doing all this stuff, and the teacher's like, you should probably be in the advanced class. And I was like, okay, how do I do that? Then I was like, you know what, I don't really want to do this. I feel like it's taking up too much of my time. So I kind of dropped out after a couple days. And then I reached out to Jordan. I was actually working at the pizza place I worked at. And I emailed him. It was a slow day. I emailed him at work. And then during my lunch break, I saw that he got back to me. Because I just sent him my James Bond Encounters video. I was like, hey, I'm a big fan, you know. Would there be any chance I could help you out with something, or, you know, do some work for you? And he got back to me pretty quickly.
Yeah, and, after seeing your work, it's like, yeah, let me think about that. Okay.
So yeah, then we kind of started coming up with the video ideas, and the idea of, you know, Darth Vader teaching Kylo Ren the ropes of being a Sith, or, you know, using the Force kind of stuck, and he wrote the script, and I bought all the figures and started, you know, thinking about how the sets were going to look, and it just kind of started happening. And then that video blew up, and yeah, I think it's his most viewed video on his channel now, which is insane.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, it's kind of the total package of, you know, not just the set, but the animation. It's well written, it's well voiced, it's funny. I like all that. I mean,
well, it's approaching 9 million views right now. It's about 8.8 and million views and 58,000 likes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's all?
Yeah.
Should have more. No, it's really funny. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
I'm curious who, and like I said, my memory is like all over the place. Is this the one that had what's her name, Leia and Rey?
That's Chewbacca versus Kylo Ren.
Okay, right. I'm curious who voiced those parts.
So there's this website called Fiverr, you can hire people for, it's like mostly for $5. Sometimes it'll be like, you can also do this for $10, but it's mostly $5, hence it's called Fiverr. And I just looked up female voice actors, and I was like, hey, can you do an impression of Princess Leia? And this one woman was like, sure. So I sent her those lines, and there's like, I think, three lines, so it wasn't that much. And then I think Jordan was, he found this a British lady, and she did Rey, so.
Yeah, no, I personally noticed that they actually, yeah, it's hard to get female voice actors, but they did a great job. So kudos.
Yeah.
That was cool. Good on finding that.
And then we also found someone who did all the Chewbacca lines, too.
Ah, so. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I was looking at the behind the scenes for it, it looked like you probably most of the time animate while you're sitting down. Does that sound right? But sometimes you have to stand up?
Yeah, I think it depends. Most recently I've switched to standing up, but I also sit down too. I think it just depends on what I'm animating and the complexity of the scene and how close they are to the edge of the table.
Are you no longer animating in your basement?
What?
Do you still animate in your basement, or have you moved into a different room?
I have migrated upstairs into what used to be the family office, which, you know, ended up being a computer and a desk. So I took over that space, and that's where I am now.
So is light not an issue in there?
I actually block out the windows.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I use sound foam, too, so it helps with voice acting and stuff.
Okay. I think I saw some of that.
Which was the one that we were watching, the where he was like having to bend over? Because you're like...
I think that you had a set that was in an awkward place, so I think you were actually having to stand up and lean over and do all the animating.
I know, my back hurt just watching you, because you're like really tall, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm 6'7".
Wow.
And you have to, in your old basement, or your basement, you had to lean over just not to hit your head. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was probably part of my poor posture now, that the past however many years in the basement, hunched over like Gollum. Yeah.
Wow, that is really tall. So, like, do I, like, avoid the obvious question of, have you ever played basketball?
Yeah, I did play basketball in, through middle school, and I actually was training for tryouts for the freshman team, and I sprained my ankle really bad while training. And I kind of just sat there through the tryouts, and they're like, yeah, you didn't really try out, but you're still on the team. So I was like, okay,
you're tall,
cool.
So.
Yeah. And then, but even before that summer going into freshman year, that's when I started AKP Studios, and I was in a basketball camp, but I was like, I don't want to do a basketball camp because all I want to do is animate. So I quit the basketball camp, and then I was, on the basketball team. I never played in a game. Then I was like, okay, I quit here, and just focused on animating. So after like eighth grade, that was like my last year playing basketball.
Well, considering the your work, I say you made the right choice there. So
yeah. And it just what made me happy. I think it was like basketball was, I felt like I had to play because I am tall, and that's the stigma that comes with that. It's like, you should play basketball. You should be, you could play in college. I'm like, yeah, I could, I guess, but I don't really want to. So
you got to do what you want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to do what makes you happy. It's really important.
Yeah. I'm so lucky that like my parents, support what I love and aren't, those parents that are like, you have to play sports, so.
As long as you're doing something instead of sitting around just watching TV and, and surfing the internet. It's just got to have a goal in life.
Mm-hmm.
So what was I saying here? I think I also noticed in the making of, you had some like little LED colored lights that you might have lit the set with. Was that one of those little remote control things?
So which one was this for? The Grandpa Vader?
I think that was the Grandpa Vader one, yeah.
So there was a set where it was like the opening scene where Kylo Ren is walking down the hallway. Those little lights in the hallway were lit with LED lights. And I just bought them off Amazon. Okay. Those aren't colored ones, but I do have LED lights that are change colors. Those are my like Q&A videos. But yeah, those are just put behind the walls to make those. But it was like they use like clear bricks to make those light up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I found something at like Walmart. It was on sale, but it was one of these little strip things that you put around a TV so that you could make the surround of your TV whatever color you want. And I thought that was pretty cheesy, but it actually made some really cool LED lights that you can integrate into your set. I mean, the bad part, it's like this one yard long strip of it, which you kind of have to bend around to your liking, but it was pretty cool. It was a good $5 option or $10 option I found at Walmart. But also, like brick stuff also has some really killer lighting.
Really amazing lights.
I have used the brick stuff stuff, so
brick stuff.
I like that.
Yeah, but those, like, I did use those, like the long like yard long kind of stuff. That's what I used for that.
Okay. Yeah, those are, anytime you can integrate lights that just make the scenes pop, instead of, I'm guilty of just blasting, my regular studio lights. But, when you get, you really start moving the lights around and having a lighting design, it just makes the scenic pop out more, and you did well with, with making your scenic, which was awesome, pop out.
Thanks. Yeah, I think there was a scene in the TIE Fighter where Ben and the Darth Vader are going to, I think they're going to buy a lightsaber or whatever, but they're in the TIE Fighter cockpit, and I did use brick stuff lights, and I just kind of put them in like red studs. So
I remember that shot. That was one of the many shots that pop, you know, stood out. I even liked the when they were walking out to the TIE fire to just the street. You didn't just use street base plates. You made your own streets.
Yeah, I would have. I don't think I have any of those base plates, but yeah.
No, but those looked great. And it kind of gave an alternate, because most of your scenic had no studs, but the street had studs, so it kind of it gave it some texture.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of go into the it's the lightsaber fight. It's one of your the various fancy pants ones you did, and some of the things that stood out was I think at one point that they're fighting with the lightsabers and they hit the ground and it left a mark on the ground. Was that like clay or did you do that in post?
I think I used an X-Acto. No, I used these little wire cutters and I just kind of cut into the ground as
Was it clay or was it Lego ground?
It was Lego.
Oh, okay.
See, that's why it looked so real. Okay. I said that was amazing. It looked real. It didn't look like clay. That was fantastic.
And I was like, if it was clay, how did you get it to match the Lego? But I guess it wasn't clay. I think I have a note here. It says you used a plugin for After Effects called Video Copilot. What does that do?
So there's the Video Copilot. They have a lot of different plugins. I use the Saber plugin, which is it's like a lightsaber visual effect. It just makes it really easy to make lightsabers with. And I also use. I've been using Element 3D, which kind of integrates 3D modeling and animation program into After Effects. I've been using that recently, but other than that, they have they provide action essentials, action movie essentials, just like a bunch of stock footage.
That's cool. But, is that something is for purchase or is it a free item?
Saber is actually free. But a lot of their stuff is for purchase, yeah.
Okay, a few free things to get you interested in the purchase stuff after you're hooked.
Yeah.
Okay. Another scene that I loved out in that one is when Chewie was thrown, and I believe he hits the ceiling.
Yeah.
And that's just, I love anytime you see ceiling in a brick film.
Because you don't see it too often.
You don't see it much.
Yeah.
And I liked that shot. If I'm not incorrect, On Beat Man and his name's Gus, is that correct?
Yeah, Gus.
And he did the music.
He did do the music, and he also voices Kylo Ren in all those videos.
Yeah, he did a great job. He did a great job on both of those.
Yeah, we're trying to woo him, get him to come and do a podcast with us. So hey, Gus, come see us for a podcast.
Yeah, I'll let him know.
Yeah. Let's see. Was there anything else in there? I guess you did. Also, did a Batman shower surprise for Jordan? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Let's see. What popped up there that I thought was awesome?
I didn't see that.
I guess I just missed it. I think I showed it too. The Bat Cave was just incredible. You did a great job.
Thanks.
Of that. So let's see if there's any other notes here.
When you're doing your sets? I mean, do you look at pictures to get inspiration, or is this just all in your head? And it's like, I just kind of play it by ear and build your sets, without any kind of looking at pictures or anything.
Most of the time it's just in my head. I can't really think of a time where I looked at a picture. So. I guess it's in my head.
Wow, okay. I mean, that's talent. It really is, not to just see it, but to be able to create it the way you do.
Another thing you did there is you all the pictures that were on the wall, you did that in post-production.
Which one was this for?
I think it was all the family shots in Grandpa Vader.
It was with Han and Leia. So
there is that one picture. I'm not sure why I did this. I could have saved so much time if I just printed out a picture, but I did. I used it was green bricks as a green screen, and for each shot, I composited in that picture.
It looked great, but it did look like a lot of extra work.
Yeah.
Color printer, boom.
Yeah, I do that now, and then I use sticky kind of poster sticky paper. So, yeah, that was fun.
And I think you also mentioned you weren't a fan of animating Chewbacca.
No, because you can't. His arms are limited with their movements, so there's a lot of out of the socket animation because his big headpiece is very limiting. Mm-hmm. And you can't move his head at all, so you have to turn his whole body. Yeah.
Looks cool, but not great to animate. Yeah.
We should mention the little Kylo Ren, using the little minifigures and being able to...
The target practice.
Oh, yeah, that. I was talking about his legs, too, where he got...
Where you got the legs because those are not Lego, is that correct?
Yeah, they're Brick Fortress, I think.
I think that's what it is, yeah. I think that's all they sell. I went to their website, but those are awesome. I'm surprised. I'm surprised Lego hasn't been making short legs that move like that.
Well, they just did with the new Lego Harry Potter sets. Woo-hoo. I think they're the collectible minifigures.
Okay.
They have movable legs, but they have the printing on them. So.
Even on the legs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. They're at least doing that now. Awesome. Learn something every day.
Yeah, but the Kylo cardboard cutout, the target cutout, that was fun. I mean, that was just so realistic.
Thanks.
There's just so much to love about those things. Like, I can't believe anybody who hasn't seen these, but you definitely got to take the time to watch these because they're just fantastic on so many levels.
And I think I saw that you used like an old circuit board in the background that was like not very well, you know, didn't have much lighting on it, but used as background imaging, like just an old circuit board, non-Lego. Does that sound like I have the correct information there?
I think there was it for that opening scene where Han and Kylo were on the, where Han kills, Kylo kills Han?
I think it was the background of that one. Yeah, it was really dark, but you used something like that because it sort of worked.
What I did was, that was all green screen and blue screen, but I just looked, because I was looking at the reference footage from the movie, and I was like, how could I make something that looks like this? And I looked up just pictures of circuit boards. So I composited them, composed them in.
Let's add that picture again.
Composited them in the background and just adjusted the color correction and darkened them up and put a glow on them and stuff.
I just think it's kind of funny that I actually had a circuit board years and years ago, and I haven't used it ever, but I was like, wow, I could use this as a background on something. I've never gone through and done it, but I thought about it. So I kept the circuit board instead of just throwing it away. It was from some computer that got lightning strike.
Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah, our house got struck by lightning a few years ago. So.
Oh, wow.
But nothing too severe.
That's good.
Let's see. And do you have plans of doing anything in the future with Fancy Pants?
As of right now, no. I mean, maybe I'll voice something in one of, you know, our videos. But other than that, no. Just because it's a lot of work. And I love Jordan. Like, we're good friends, but you know, I'm trying to focus on my own stuff at the moment.
Well, you need your own channel
definitely.
To grow.
And you definitely need your channel to grow, and you deserve to, you know, get the views and the money and all that.
And have you done collaboratives for other channels?
The whole thing with Gus and his date for Kylo Ren. I animated that thing on the short little scene on the beach. I've done some visual effects for Gus. He's done some visual effects for me. But other than that, I think it's mostly just been voice acting.
Okay.
I know me and Gus both released a Captain America Civil War video around the same time just to kind of cross promote and his Captain America one and mine. His Iron Man one and mine Captain America one. Okay. But yeah.
Did you create anything for Titan Pictures at one point?
That's right. Forgot about that. That was his. It was for like Rogue One, when that movie was coming out. I animated two shorts for him.
And then you later on put him on your channel. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him one day. He's seems like an interesting guy.
Yeah, Patrick.
Patrick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's on the front page of our website at the moment. His is the picture that pops up first.
Was that
there's a slideshow on the front page of the Brick Filmers Guild. And if you got a cool picture of you animating, definitely send it over.
We'll
put it there. We'll add
you
to it. And
sure.
But yeah, I saw those. Those were pretty cool. They don't stand out quite as much as your the ones for Fancy Pants' channel, but they were still good videos.
Yeah.
I guess we'll dive in real quick. You did a podcast in September 2017 with DK Films, Dangerous Bricks. And it's fun podcast. I learned a lot from it. But one of the fun things in there is you actually sing a couple of bars of a Bee Gees song.
You were such a good sport doing that.
I don't think I would have been singing. DK did an awesome job of it. And you did a great job, too. But that was funny. And that's definitely a podcast worth listening to. I don't know if he's done any recently, but he's got an interesting podcast. And we try to listen to those.
Yeah, there's a lot of people doing podcasts.
Lots of podcasts. Yeah. Lots of podcasts.
But none of them have the female aspect, you know, except ours.
That is true.
Gotta have that female aspect.
It's important.
All right, let's talk about Lego Captain America, the neighborhood Avenger.
Oh, no.
My most controversial.
I loved it.
See, it was funny because I have fun, sick humor. You know, I have a warped sense of humor, so I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, that was never really the plan in my head. I was like, oh, it'll just be more funny. And then I was like, let me test out, like, I don't remember what I did to make that. It was, like, I think maybe some sticky tack, and then I used fake blood and kind of soaked it in. I'm not even sure what I did, but it was more of a test than anything. And then it became very dark. The little girl crying and stuff. So,
well, one of the things I noticed, it did have great use of clay. At one point, I think you had green under the girl's legs, so kind of obviously it was, I guess, the Lego girl little kid legs that wouldn't move, but you were able to move it around on top of a green that you couldn't see because it was a green base plate. And you said you used like fake blood. Is that like the vampire blood you put in your mouth for Halloween?
Yeah.
And how well does that work? Does it dry up quick? Does it because it looked good on camera?
Yeah, that. It stains the Legos, so I haven't used that since then. Recently, I was talking to Keshen, and he uses paint for his fake blood. So I did that for a couple of the some stuff in the James Bond one take, but that dries pretty quickly. It all dries pretty quick, so it's hard to get good-looking blood.
Or you could just, like, you know, slash your finger. Well, not your finger, because then you can't animate. Can't do
that. That would dry too quick. No real blood. We bleed enough doing our art.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Alex does it twice, because he not only with the animation, but then with the editing. So.
He probably used to bump his head in his basement.
Oh, yeah. Many times. I just got used to it. But, yeah, like, I got to the point where, you know, I had to slouch down and it just second nature, but sometimes it come out of nowhere and just surprise you and be like, oh, I haven't, you know, felt that in a month or so, but, you know, it's fun.
Well, glad you moved out of there and saved your head.
Yeah, me too.
So, I would imagine a lot of your time has been taken up with some different non-Lego, commission work.
That is correct. Yes.
The stick box.
Stick box. Uh-huh. Yeah. Which have been awesome. Yeah,
those are awesome. How many of those have you made?
So the first video that I made for them was back in, I think it was May 2017 it came out. And it's called like a portal to another dimension or something. I think that's what they ended up calling it. Oh, there's a notification. My bad. So that one came out. And then they were like, hey, do you want to do a series for us? I was like, yes, I want to do a series for you. So I started writing that. And I think it was 12 episodes. I finally started animating that in December 2017. And I'm actually starting animation on the final episode today. So.
Wow. So you wrote all of those?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you make storyboards for everything?
It depends. I think I did for the first couple episodes, I did storyboards. And for certain scenes, I think dialogue scenes are for me, I don't know. I think I like doing storyboards for dialogue just to keep track of what I've animated so far. But for action scenes, I find it harder to storyboard because for me, I like just kind of seeing what happens, just going with the flow. But yeah, so yeah, it ended up being 11 episodes because episode 9 or 8 was shorter than they wanted it to be. So I combined it 8 and 9, but I think three have aired so far.
Okay. And is this series something that you had to get, you know, client approval on scripts and all that, or did they give you any ideas of where to go?
Yeah. So I started out with the story outline and there's a lot of back and forth with that. We finally settled on something that we all liked. And then we started with the scripts and there was back and forth with each script. And, for the most part, the scripts were like, yeah, this is good. Or sometimes it'd be like, do this, add that, or get rid of that. For the most part, I think they're pretty cool with what I wanted to do, so that was good.
And who arranges for the voiceovers on those? Do you do that, or did they do that?
Oh, I do everything. So Gus actually voices. I don't know if you've seen the episodes.
Seen a few of them. I think it was the most recent one where I think they're running from like the robots until they get past a certain point on a bridge and blow it up. Beautifully done.
Thanks. That was fun.
The lighting is awesome.
Thanks. So I do the voices for the two main characters, and Gus does the voice of this professor character. And then his sister does the voice of the character Kate. So, yeah.
So how do you find it animating the stick bots compared to the Lego?
Oh, I tell you this, I miss Lego. But, no, stick bots are fun. I think there's some limitations, but once you get used to them, they're pretty easy to animate. And I do like that they're bigger than...
they're like 4 inches tall, right?
Yeah.
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 Oh, those are big. I didn't realize.
Well, yeah. So you don't have to move something a half a millimeter just to do. You know, it's a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
You know,
one thing is you do need more space for the sets because those are also going to be bigger. So.
And you built all these sets from scratch.
Yes.
I noticed there was Lego parts in some of it, which I really dug, but a lot of it looked like cardboard that you put together and painted.
Yeah, so I started off saying, hey, I'm going to build all the sets in Lego, but then that turned out to be more difficult than it, you know, than I thought, just because they're so big, and the sets are so big, and I don't know, so I was like, okay, I'll just start. So after, I think, episode 3, it's all, like, cardboard and like, poster board and stuff like that. But yeah, so I paint, or I spray paint. I'll add some more details with paint. I think there was a mix of Lego. So I ended up hot gluing stuff to Lego, which I very much regret at this point. But other than that, yeah, it's all cardboard and paint. And I'm trying to think if
the robots flying in the air and hovering, they're just adorable. It looks so good.
That was my biggest mistake because it takes takes forever to do that. But
how did you, were they just held up with like putty tack and a little stick and you just had to erase those out?
Yeah. So actually I used Lego pieces for the little stand that they're on, which comes in handy because just Lego is so nice because it's, you know, you can build stuff out of it. That's what Lego's for. And instead of, you know, making something out of wood or whatnot, you have Lego. And I just painted the Legos green, but that doesn't end up really working that much. Sometimes it'll work. I'll be able to key it out. But most of the time, I just have to paint it out frame by frame. So
more work.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yes, yes. I'm trying to see some other things we have here. You've done a lot of recreations.
Yeah, that was a big thing I did for a while.
And a lot of them really, really good. I think the one that stood out, the Taken one, even though it's just one shot.
Yeah.
It's one of the cool parts of the movie. You know, that one was really cool. The Star Trek one was awesome.
Thank you.
It seemed like the Bourne Legacy was a lot of After Effects work just to make the transition effects.
Yeah, that was my first big thing. Like, that's like, I think I started using After Effects in 2012, and that was one of the first like projects that was very like heavy with the After Effects. And that now would take me, you know, a couple minutes each frame, but back then I was like, I don't know how to do this, and I was just kind of winging it, and it took me forever to do those opening shots with the transitions. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of computer are you using now? Are you using a PC?
Windows? Yeah. So I have I started off with an iMac, but I think it was 2014. I built, me and my friend built a PC, and I've been using that ever since. I've been upgrading it here and there, but that's what I use now. I actually just bought a MacBook Pro, though, for animation and on-the-go kind of stuff.
Oh, that's cool. And yeah. Do you have one of those keyboard covered layouts for your After Effects to know all the hotkeys and Premiere and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Do you have a certain hotkey that you just use a whole bunch? That way I need to look it up.
Dave's wanting some tips here. He's like, I want to know his hotkeys.
You know, what you really just lean on, you know?
I'm looking at it. I think for After Effects.
Or Premiere too. I imagine switching between, you know, the cut device and the pointer one is probably
Control C, Control V, I guess. That's my biggest one. That's probably it. Or just C, not Control. That's copy and paste, but just C and V. I'd have to like be working and like also the R button, which is rotation, T, which toggles the opacity. I used to use H, which is like the hand tool, so you can like drag around whatever you're using, but I recently learned that you can also use the scroll button on your mouse, and that works as the hand tool as well. This is very exciting stuff.
Oh, no, but, I'm trying to know.
I mean, when we win the lottery, we'll just pay for you to come here, and you guys can just hang out for a week, and you can show them all your...
When you use a Dragon Frame, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And when you output your videos, what resolution do you output them as?
I do 4K. So what I do is I just copy the folder, the image folder, and then I open them as image sequences in Premiere.
Oh, so you don't output them out of Dragon Frame?
No. I used to. I don't know why I don't, but I just do it as an image sequence. I don't know. It works pretty well for me. And then from Premiere, I dynamic link them to After Effects. So you just like... right click on it and it says open in After Effects composition, and then you can edit that shot in After Effects and then go back into Premiere when you're done doing the visual effects and just say render and replace, and then that shot with the visual effects will be in Premiere. So that's been something I've been using quite a bit frequently recently, just with the StickBot stuff. It's really helped with time.
For the longest time, I was, you know, I would just output out of Dragon Frame, but I was doing the 4K files. And then recently I switched down just to doing 1080p because it was just slowing my Premiere down and the file sizes were big. And then if I needed something bigger, I'd just go back and re-render it as a larger file size so that I can wiggle it around or zoom in a lot more. But I found that my Premiere is a lot happier just dealing with the 1080 files. Does not like the 4K, but occasionally you want to get that extra zoom in. It's nice to have the 4K stuff, but I don't ever output to YouTube as 4K, at least yet.
Me neither. I mean, it's just all 1920x1080 kind of stuff like that. But
I like that resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's get into Captain America. Just from me, just from a watching point of view, a non-brick filmer, just the action of him throwing his shield and hitting somebody, that's just like, it looked amazing. Looked very Keshen-ish as well.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Wait, so this is the Civil War one?
Civil War.
Okay, yeah.
Just every time he like flings that shield. It's like, wow, it's really impressive to watch.
Those are always fun to do.
And that's done in After Effects?
So I'll mask out whatever was supporting the shield. It just depends, I guess, on the shot. I think with the Neighborhood Avenger one where he, you know, knocks the cat out of the tree. I think part of that, the part where it actually makes contact with the cat, that was shot on a green screen. But when it was like the first shot with it, when it was going and bouncing out the tree, that was in camera. But I use supports to mask it out.
And do you add a blur, even though it's in camera, do you add a blur in After Effects to the actual shield?
I'm not sure about that. I'm sure. I think there's a time where I was using motion blur a lot, but I kind of went away from that just because I liked the look of, I thought, you know, this is really smooth and cool looking, but it kind of takes away from the stop motion aspect where it's, you know, I don't know. I just haven't really been doing that recently, but it's just a plug-in in After Effects. Okay. So it's called like pixel motion blur.
Have you ever done any go motion type effects where you're actually moving the object or something in the background while you're taking the picture?
I haven't. I wanted to try that out. Actually, there's been a couple things in the StickBot stuff, but other than that, no.
Okay. I've just done a couple of tests, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. I wish I had some sort of robotic type things to move whatever around so it would move constantly when you take the picture. But, you know, I do it put long exposure, hit the button, and slowly move the set, and you get some cool effects. Let's see. What kind of a microphone do you use for doing your voiceovers?
It's a Blue Yeti. I'm using that right now. I think that's just what it's called.
Okay, and that plugs into your computer USB. And what are you using, like Audacity or?
Adobe Audition.
Okay.
I transitioned to that for the StickBot series.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of the ones in the cloud that I haven't been using, and I probably should, but I find Audacity loads really fast, and I just need minimal stuff. So I've kept using Audacity because I know the cloud products, you know, you hit open and you can walk away for 2 or 3 minutes while it loads.
Yeah, I think I just leave it open for the most part, and I just have a... because there's a lot of characters in the StickBot series that have... filters for their voice, so I just have a project that's just character voices and different layers on there that's for each character. So I just click that layer that I want to record in, and then I record the voices, and it's already has the effect on it, and then I export it out, and good to go.
Cool.
Yeah, we saw the mic on one of his. I think it was probably one of the commentaries or something, and because he's recording, and it's like, first thing I saw, I was like, oh, well, that's a nice. Professional looking mic there.
I think it's one of the better USB ones.
So that will be, if we ever reach our goal on Patreon, we'll upgrade to that. It looks really nice. We'll
see. What was I going to say there?
I interrupted. So
yeah, frame of thought. Yeah. do you use anything besides the, I guess, of the four Adobe Cloud products we talked about? Anything besides like Premiere, After Effects, Audition and Photoshop. Do you use anything besides those?
I use Adobe Media Encoder, which is just like their rendering program. So in, After Effects, or I mostly use it for Premiere. Like if I'm exporting something, I can cue that in Adobe Media Encoder, and then I can have that rendering in the background and still use Premiere instead of it being like, you know, Premiere just rendering it and I can't do anything in there for, you know, however many minutes. But other than that, I think it's After Effects, Premiere, Audition, Photoshop, and I do use Adobe Story, which is kind of discontinued now, but it's a script writing program. And then Adobe Media Encoder. But
I'm trying to find more value in it, and I'm already addicted to After Effects and Photoshop, so it'd be hard for me to walk away from the platform, but the price tag is It's very ugly every year round.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I was on like a student, pricing thing where it was like, I think it was like $30. And then they're like, yeah, we were unable to verify you as a student. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not a student, but it's like, it's going to be $50 a month. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Good. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'd love to find an old, non-subscription version, 'cause it would probably be all I need. I don't need all these new bells and whistles. If I could just find something that would work on my computer without a subscription, that would be lovely.
Now I'm going to go off for a second. I know that you have worked with all these other animators, but have you actually met any of them in person or anyone else that animates?
No, I don't know. I haven't. Me and Gus have been trying to plan, like, he's out in Pennsylvania, so I've been trying to plan something where I go out and visit him and we do something together, but no, I don't. Not that I can remember. I'm sure that would pop out in my head if I met anyone. But yeah, no, I haven't met anyone.
You in the Chicago area?
Yeah, so about 40 minutes west of Chicago.
Seems like they'd have some any kind of conventions.
Oh, there's the big Lego convention there that David Pickett runs a contest for.
Have you been to any of those?
I haven't. It's like Brick World,
Chicago.
Yeah, well, that's it, Brick World.
I've known about it, and it's like 20 minutes away from my house, but I have never gone.
There's one this weekend in the Atlanta area, but I'm just not wanting to put out the $20 a pop to go walk around for an hour.
We went there a few years ago, though, so at least we can say we went there once.
Yeah, we got to meet, Joe Mino?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and also...
the guy from Brick... Brick Show.
Okay.
One of the guys from that.
Yeah.
Chicago, though, that's nice. Have you ever lived anywhere else? Or?
No. I mean, I've moved around the Illinois area, but I've been in the house I'm at right now for, I think, 17 years, so.
Nice. I once had a friend that lived in Evanston.
Okay.
And I went to visit her. It was my birthday, and she took me out to dinner. Might have been in Chicago. I don't know. Or if it was there, I don't remember. But I don't even remember the restaurant. But she must have told the waiter that it was my birthday. And he came out with the cake and he started singing happy birthday. And we were sitting outside because in Chicago or in Illinois, you can actually sit outside without, you know, burning up. But everybody that was sitting out there started singing happy birthday to me. And I was just so overwhelmed, and I just thought it was the sweetest thing. And I was just like, wow, just what nice people. And it was just so heartwarming and wonderful. I'll never forget it. It was just an amazing experience. And I just thought everybody was so nice.
That's cool. They're all right for the most part. They're pretty good.
That's because they're not burning up like we are here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes it can be really hot and, you know, ups and downs, I guess.
Yeah, no, there's really hot, and then there's Atlanta, which which is, you can't even tolerate it, so.
Yeah. Heavy, the industry's pretty heavy out there, though, which is nice.
It's going really well. I'm not in the industry, but I like it, Georgia, I love seeing how much stuff's being produced here.
Yeah.
It's the new Hollywood, so it is pretty cool, but knowing that we have all these.
It's a really hard line of work. It's a lot of 16-hour days. I prefer the industry I'm in, or just making films on my own.
What was that? Walking Dead. Is that because he did a video?
Yeah, he did several Walking Dead.
And they filmed that here, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I never got into that show, though. It was.
I'm a fan, but it has been declining over the past couple of years. And it's at the point where when me and my girlfriend watch it, it's more like, wow, this is not what it used to be. So, and we just kind of make fun of it here and there. But I don't know. I've been watching it since it aired, and I'm at the point where it's like I need to see this through. And even the main character's leaving this season, so we'll see where it goes.
I heard they kill everybody off, and I get so attached to people. That's why I can't watch it.
Well, I definitely love all the shows. A lot of these shows coming out of Georgia. Stranger Things is one of my favorite. Plus, I'm of the age of what those kids would be if they were this now.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of 80s nostalgia, and it looks, you know, it looks like what I grew up in, so it's really cool. Another show that came out was Insatiable. It's a little edgy, but it's hysterical, and it's made in Georgia. It has Alyssa Milano in it.
Okay.
So there's some,
and
there's
some Netflix and too.
Netflix has been giving Georgia some love.
Yeah, that's good.
I think Archer, the animated TV show, is produced in Georgia.
But... Really? Oh, cool. See, I've been wanting to watch that.
I think someone that was on a radio show I listened to was an actor on that, I think. But
it's just hard for me. Do you ever watch Bob's Burgers?
Yes.
It's hard to see his voice. He's Bob. I mean, he's just Bob. So to see, you know, this other character, which really doesn't fit his voice.
There's actually a parody within Archer where he is undercover as Bob, and he has his kids in the episode. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, much, that's awesome. Yeah, we need to start watching that just because I think it'd be funny anyway.
Funny show.
So curious, do you listen to any music or podcast TV while you animate?
Yeah. For animation, it's more I'll listen to music or podcasts. And recently I've been more just because I'm on a bit of a time crunch, and I think listening to stuff sometimes distracts me. I've been just kind of going quiet and just buckling down and animating. But podcast wise, I listen to, for the most part, I used to listen to more, but The Weekly Planet, which I think I was listening to the episode you did with Sean, and he did the Batman 2D animation video for them. I don't know if you remember that, but
they're
Australian.
Gotta love the accent.
Yeah, and then just that's about it. And then for visual effects, that's when I am able to watch TV or watch YouTube and just kind of, because I have like a 3-monitor setup, so I'll have that on one monitor, After Effects on the other, and then Premiere on the other. So I kind of have a multitasking kind of thing going on, but yeah.
Yeah, because that can get pretty, without any kind of somebody with you there, it gets pretty lonely, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's all right. I think one thing I miss about the basement is the peace and quiet, because now I'm up on the main floor, and when no one's home, it's good when everyone's at work, but when people start coming home and there's a lot of stuff going on, my mom's watching, you know, TV kind of stuff, it's more of a distraction. That's the one thing I miss about being in the basement, other than, you know, that's about it. Yeah.
And speaking of your mom, we watched this morning the little Mother's Day thing you did for your mom, which I thought was just adorable and super sweet. I appreciated that as a mom. I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun to make. Yeah. She had the flowers as the muzzle flashes for her gun. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite, any of your videos? Do you have a favorite of your own?
Favorite, I mean, they're,
yeah, I know. They are like your children, right? Every time we, you know, release something, it's like giving birth. And you love them all, but do you have a favorite that you've done for whatever reason, sentimental or otherwise?
It's probably either my James Bond, like the one, the 007 Encounters, or my most recent James Bond video. I don't know. I feel like those are the most, hey, look at what I made kind of videos. Like the 007 Encounters is like my go-to, like when I want to show someone something that I made.
When you want to wow them, that's it, because it has everything.
I suppose. But, yeah, and also the Grandpa Vader one, just because it's like, hey, look at this. It has almost 9 million views. So that's like kind of validates my, hey, I make Lego animations, but look at this. It has 9 million views, even though it's not even on my channel. It's just like, I made this.
All our multi-million or over a million view videos are not on our channel as well.
Yeah,
I think we have 2 or 3, and they're not on our channel. One's on Sports Illustrated Kids. One's on, what is the other one on? Well, it was on Machinima, but I think it got removed. My Grand Theft Auto, it's no longer there. Ooh. I have to find out about that.
That hurts.
Yeah, it had like 1.8 million. But
oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nothing compared to his, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, this Grandma Vader video did so well, and then I was like, I can't wait for this next video, the Chewbacca vs. Kylo Ren, to hit millions of views, but it hasn't even hit. I think it's like over, like just over 150,000 on Fancy Pants' channel, and mine it's just over 100,000. So.
Are you going to put the other ones on your channel?
No. I don't know if, because, yeah, I don't know. I talked to Jordan about it, but that's not the plan at the moment.
Do you have you would know better than I would, a playlist, so at least it can direct people a playlist of videos that you've done that are not on your channel, so people know where to look to find them?
I don't. That's a good idea.
You need to do that.
Put that together. I had to do a lot of research.
Yeah, you definitely need to do that. You want people that's another way for people to find your work, especially those ones that have all those views and are so worth watching. No, you got to do that. I mean, we even have a playlist of videos that we've voice acted in.
Oh, wow.
You
know, yeah.
So no, you definitely want people to see your work on all the channels. So add that to your to-do list.
Will do. Still got a 14-page script to animate, but that will be the next thing after that.
So do you have any other interests other than Lego, as if that doesn't take up enough time?
Movie?
I don't know. At this point, it's kind of my job, so it's just kind of doing my best to stay active. I just got a membership at Planet Fitness, so I'm able to go at late hours, and then my family and girlfriend, sir, it's probably about it, but most of my time is stop motion. So I'm excited because I'm almost done with this series and I can take a little bit of a break and would like to get some Lego animation done.
So what's your next Lego project that you'll be releasing?
Oh, man, I haven't really had time to think about that. I do have this idea for another James Bond video, even though, like, I don't know why. I'm not even that big of a fan of James Bond, but it'd be a huge one-take action sequence. Like, I don't know. I have this visualization in my head, like, bigger than anything you've ever seen before. But so we'll see about that, but that's the current idea. I don't know.
Is there going to be like a Lego Star Wars Kylo Ren's new helmet, or was that? I don't know where saw that.
That was happening, but then I don't know. I wasn't really happy with how it was turning out, and the whole premise was there's a shot in the Last Jedi trailer where Kylo Ren's helmet is crushed. And basically, this video was going to lead up to how that happened. But now that the movie came out, we know how that happened. So, I don't know. We'll see. I still have all the footage for it, but I haven't finished animating it. And I think I was working on that back in, like, May of 2017. So, it's been over a year. I'm not sure if I'll go back to that.
All right, let's try to make some people upset here. What's your opinion of the new Star Wars movies? The 7 and 8.
Oh God, this is as bad as politics at this point.
But, probably.
I love the new movies, and I don't know. It's a really. I don't understand why everyone. What do you think?
I liked them. I wasn't crazy about them. I do like 8 better than 7. I thought 7 had some silly stuff with the big planet destroyer, planet killer, whatever. Eight, I didn't like the first time as much when I watched it, but when I watched it again, a lot of the problems I had with it disappeared. So I do like the movies. I'm hoping certain things happen in 9. I'm hoping they missed. There's a misdirection on saying Rey doesn't have parents when I'm hoping that Ben and Rey are brother and sister.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm also hoping that was it Snook, whatever. I mess him up all. I hope he's not really dead, and I hope he's actually Plagueis. And he comes back to life, and he ends up being just both of Rey and Ren have to fight him again. I think would be awesome. What was the other thing I think I said? That because they're twins or they're brother and sister.
I think they should be twins.
Only Leia knew about it. and didn't tell Han, and maybe that's what led to the breakup or whatever. But I'm hoping those things happen.
More that she didn't know, and that they were separated at birth, and she didn't.
But
know.
I'm hoping that her parents aren't nobodies. That's just a misdirect, so that we just think no, they're not, and then you know we find out in the third episode that oh, they're brother and sisters, kind of like what happened in episode 6, Return of the Jedi. So I've got my hopes.
Personally, I enjoyed all of the movies except for Rogue One.
You didn't like Rogue One.
But so, and I've only watched like 30 minutes of it, and then I gave up because I was bored. But from what I've heard, just the ending alone is worth watching, so I really just need to give it another chance and watch the whole thing.
Sure, yeah. So, like, my thoughts on Rogue One is, like, whenever you first see a Star Wars movie in the theaters, you're like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, this is my... I mean, depends. I guess a lot of people didn't have the same opinion about Last Jedi, but for Rogue One, everyone was like, this is awesome. But when you really look back at it, it's like the best part of that is the end fight scene on the beach and then the ending with, you know,
Vader.
Darth Vader.
Right, and that's what I've heard. And so I've missed that, so it's worth me watching
it. DVD.
It's just, I didn't like the actors. They just didn't captivate me, so I didn't care about them.
Yeah.
And if you don't care about the people, it's like, well, why do I want to watch it? Because I really don't care what happens to you.
Except for the robot. It wasn't the greatest robot was character cool. development. Yeah. Yeah, I also thought... Solo was fine, but it was good.
That's the one we haven't seen, and I'm hoping it's gonna be great. You said on Twitter that you love Solo, so I'm hoping people I respect are giving me good advice because I've heard both things about it. I got a gut feeling I'm gonna like it, but maybe not love it.
I think that is the same thing. Like I got out of the theater and posted that on Twitter, but over time, I think it's like. I don't love it, but it was good. So,
yeah.
But for Last Jedi, and I think my favorite parts were the subverting expectations with killing Snoke and that Rey wasn't anyone. So I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I hope they don't bring Snoke back, and I hope Kylo Ren's just the main villain now. And I don't know. I just like that they're kind of changing things up.
Okay. Well, hopefully there'll be some good writing in it, and they'll.
Yeah.
People will be happier with episode 9. I still enjoyed them. I was hoping for a little more.
Because how else would Rey and Ren have that connection if they weren't related, and especially if they weren't brother and sister, and even more than that, if they aren't twins, you know?
I guess so. I mean, the Force, but yeah, they must be twins.
Nobody else has that, you know? I mean, you had Luke and Leia, plus Luke, Leia, Ren... Rey. It's same names.
Yeah, I guess.
That's just the mom and me. What can I say?
We digress there, but it's it's fun to have a little side shoot conversation, and it seems like you knew enough to have a good conversation about it. Let us pontificate.
You're a good sport, Alex.
No, yeah, I love just talking about that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's rumors that the next movie is going to be split up into two movies, but I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see though.
Oh, I'd love to see them say that there's three after this, and this is all you know. Whole the director of 8, and they say he's got a trilogy that has nothing to do with the Skywalkers. I'm actually hoping it's like, nah, we were lying about that. There's going to be episode 10, 11, and 12.
Oh, I'm sure they'll do that sometime down the line. But yeah, he does have his own. I think Daniel Craig. Just signed on to his trilogy, so
it seems like you would want to if they're following the kind of the arc of the other ones. 1, 2, 3 ends bad. 4, 5, 6 ends good. So it seems like 7, 8, 9 should end as bad as 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
So and then they could come back out of the trough
come
of
back,
misery.
Yeah, 30 years later or whatever.
Yeah. The great grandchildren. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
So where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself, you know, 10 years down the line being like a professional
stop motion artist?
Yeah, or would you want to go a different direction? The writing. I mean, you could with your skills, you could do any of that. So, in your preference, or right now, you're just kind of enjoying what you're doing and seeing where it takes you.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never really had a plan. I think this whole StickBot thing came out because I was actually in Portland, and I was trying to visit Leica Studios, which is in Portland. But they're like, hey, yeah, we don't really do tours, but there's this studio that Oz West is the studio I work for that does the StickBot stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. So we called them, and they're like, yeah, we don't really do tours either, but we'll send him some StickBots. So they thought we were calling, because I was with my family, they thought we were calling in and I was like a younger child. And they're like, yeah, we'll send him some toys. I'm like, well, I don't really want StickBots, but okay. And then we called back and we're like, kind of told them what, how old I was and what I did and stuff. And they're like, oh yeah, you come in. And so I got a tour of their studio and I showed them some of my work. And then like about a month later, they contacted me asking to do some work for them. So
that's awesome. Of course, I can still send you the StickBots.
Yeah.
I think I'll take them. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we know you have a lot of work to do and a lot of things to animate to get done, which we're excited to see. So I guess we won't take up any more of your time, but we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And we'll leave links to your Twitter, your YouTube. I believe you have a Patreon account, Instagram, yeah, and your Facebook on the blog that hosts this audio, so they'll be able to find you that way.
But definitely don't forget to do that playlist, because you need to make sure everybody can find all your brilliant work. I mean, it's worth seeing, and you need to be proud because it's amazing. So make sure people can find it easily.
Yeah, I'll do that.
So
yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. This is a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, definitely our pleasure, and we look forward to seeing everything you do. Can't wait, and enjoy the rest of your day and have a great weekend coming up soon. So
thank you guys too.
Don't work too hard.
Oh, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, and just enjoy. Make sure you take time for yourself.
Get some sunlight.
Yeah, all right. Don't live the vampire life all the time.
Well, yeah, it's kind of my lifestyle at this point, but
well, you don't have, I had to notice I'm a teeth person. You have nice teeth, so at least you don't have the vampire teeth.
Thanks.
That's good to hear.
All right.
Thanks again, Alex. Much appreciated.
Take care.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much to Alex for joining us, and thanks to everyone who stuck with us through this entire podcast. Please check out our sponsors and partners on the Brick Filmers Guild homepage, and don't forget to check out Alex's amazing brick films on his YouTube channel. We want to give a huge thank you to our Patreon supporters: Spugistu, Something's Awry Productions, Frame 5 Studios, Mind Game Studios, Dark Dragon Films, Forest Fire 101, Sanjira, Spencer Katz, and Paganimation. You guys are so wonderful. Thank you so much for supporting our podcast. If you would like to sponsor one of our podcasts, please contact me through one of our social media sites. We would like to thank Kevin MacLeod for his wonderful music, which we use for our podcast and in our brick films. If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, please rate and comment. We'd really appreciate that. So, until next time, bye y'all.